Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven last words of Christ, Jesus Christ's statements from the cross. In this session, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let's look at the larger passage, beginning with verse 33 of Mark chapter 15. And then we'll read down to verse 36. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. This is the fourth word of seven Jesus spoke from the cross. We've arrived at the midpoint of this series. And how symbolic that is. This saying of the Lord is the very center of his redemptive work at Calvary. The ground zero of God's glorious plan of the ages. In this passage is the whole meaning of the cross, the atonement. I have 2 points that I want to share with you. A question and then the answer to the question. First, the question that Jesus asked on the cross in verse 34 of Mark 15. Excuse me. My God, why have you forsaken me? What a question for the Lord of glory to ask. 6 hours Jesus hung on the cross, and 3 of those hours in darkness, 12 noon to 3 o'clock. He was surrounded with darkness in every possible way. Physical darkness, the sun-blocked aloneness of the crucifixion. Emotional darkness in the anguish of becoming sin personified. Spiritual darkness in the wound of being forsaken by his Father. The Father's countenance toward his only begotten Son was changed to wrath. Jesus made no complaints when his disciples deserted him, but here, fellowship with the Father was interrupted for the first time in all of eternity. He quoted Psalm 22 in verse 1, which expressed his despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3, expresses Christ's anguish even more. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me, and I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. The Apostle Paul said he himself was offered up as a sacrifice for service to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul was filled with joy, but it's another thing altogether to be the substitute sacrifice for sin and experience God's full force of wrath. Jesus was not simply an example for us to follow. He was not a martyr of the executioner's wickedness. Jesus was not publicly displaying just how awful sin is. Jesus was not just paying the ransom price to Satan. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all. No, what was he doing on the cross? God was punishing his own son as if he had committed every wicked deed done by every sinner who would ever believe. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Propitiation, now there's a big word. A word that here means an offering made to satisfy God's demand for justice against the sin of mankind. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. God's wrath against sin, God's own righteousness, God's requirement for justice, Jesus Christ satisfied these on the cross. His sacrifice pacified God. And this is where the answer lies. The answer to Jesus' question on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin for our sin and our iniquities. He received our deserved indignation. He received our deserved wrath as the sin bearer, as the substitute for sinners. He was bearing our sin, dying as our substitute, imputed with our guilt, suffering our punishment. All of God's wrath was poured out on his own son. Why would God do that? So that he could forgive and treat those who are redeemed as if they had lived Jesus Christ's perfect life of righteousness. This is imputed righteousness. It's not ours. It's been given to us by God because of what Jesus Christ did. The suffering was hard on the Lord. It was like fire from heaven sent to consume a sacrifice completely. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, when Moses dedicated the wilderness tabernacle, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. When Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it reads, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. And then when Elijah restored that altar on Mount Carmel, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 38 and 39, where it reads, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" The fire of suffering that Jesus endured, as painful as it was the sign of God's acceptance of the sacrifice offered. The fire that should have fallen on you and me and consumed us, He received the penalty due for others' wrongdoing. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Don't miss this. The physical pain and suffering before and on the cross were intense, but were nothing compared to the wrath of God against Christ as sin and the abandonment He felt in anguish. It was the anticipation of this that caused the stress in the garden that produced sweat drops of blood. As awful as the Father's abandonment of Him felt, not for a single moment was there an interruption of the Father's love for His only begotten Son. He has the exact same love for you when you place your trust in Him. The fire from heaven consumed the sacrifice of Christ as your substitute, paying with His blood the penalty to satisfy God's demand for justice regarding your sin. What should your response be? Well, simply put, confess your sin and receive His forgiveness in faith. You have a great day.